We're going to start off this morning in Matthew chapter 7. So we're going to be over there, and after speaking with a lot of you this morning, I find that most everybody's got their workout in already today, or yesterday, last night, you know, from scooping. I did mine Friday morning when we had the first 5 inches, and I have not yet done mine. So after church, I'm inviting anybody who wants to come out to scoop my driveway. You're more than welcome. Oh, that's fine. I've got kids. The problem is when you send out kids to scoop out driveways and stuff, I don't know if they know how to scoop straight lines, or I've never really worked with them on making sure how to clean a driveway or clean the yard or whatever. I'm not sure what will happen, so we'll see. That will be interesting today. But if you happen to have our mission, vision, core values statement, we've gone through most of it, okay, of the mission vision part, right? And we're kind of working our way through this, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what is it that we could be? What is it that Grace Life Church is for? Where do we want to go, right? Because the mission, vision, statement, so the mission of Grace Life Church is to make fully devoted disciples of Christ. That's what we're all about here. As we get together, everything that we do. So how do we see ourselves? Which is the direction that we're going? We've talked down through all of these things, if you happen to have it with you. If not, you can ask me if you need a copy of it. Lord willing, here within the next week or two, we will have a new website design up, ready to go. It will be simpler, a little more user-friendly, and we'll get this on there as well. So, we are at the last point about Grace Life Church, what we want to be, where we're going, okay? And it says this: we are travelers. And you may look at that and think, what in the world are you talking about when you say we're travelers? Because you know what? I'm a homebody. I don't like to go anywhere. Does that describe anybody here? All right, Mike, you're with me. Good, all right. You know what? I'm a homebody. I don't particularly care to just go on long trips, and that drives my wife nuts. But if I could just be anywhere, I like being at home where I know everything and I can be comfortable and all that kind of stuff. And my dog will lay at my feet and all kinds of fun stuff like that. Okay, I like the simple things of being at home. But as a church, as disciples of Christ, we have places to go. We're travelers. We have a journey to walk. We have a goal, an end goal in sight that we keep pressing towards. I was thinking about this, and I was like, where in the world does the Bible talk about the church, or what does it talk about being on a journey? And I was doing some research, and I found some interesting verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we've all heard that one, right? We all know that one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Oh, well, my goodness. What's a path for? It's for taking a journey. It's for going someplace. It's having a direction. In Psalm 121 and verse 8, it says this: the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Talk about being on the move. Now, how many of you, when you're not at home and you're on the move, get a little impatient when things slow down, like when it snows big, or when you're driving on Sunday and there's people out just for their Sunday afternoon drive and they don't seem to know that the speed limit is 55, or if you're on a bigger highway, it's 65, or whatever it happened. Does that frustrate anybody? All right, I got some other people like me here. I get so frustrated sometimes when And then there are those days I'm that guy. You know, I'm just enjoying the sights. I'm just enjoying the drive and everything like that. But for the most part, there's a lot of people who get impatient when they can't go to where they want to go. I was reminded this morning, we're talking about some stuff in the Sunday school, and I brought up this word about being stuck, getting caught in the doldrums. Does anybody know what that term is? Getting caught in the doldrums? It's a sailing term. And down in the Caribbean area, there's a certain time of year where the wind just doesn't blow. And you get caught out there, and you can get caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you can be there for an extended period of time. People have died because of that. They get stuck out there. They don't get any wind. It can drive a person crazy not getting anywhere. But the point is this morning that as Grace Life Church, we need to be on a journey, both individually and as a church, as a family. So I'm going to ask you later to think about, so I'm going to ask you some questions later and maybe do some different things depending on how time works, but I want you to think about your own personal journey. Now, do you feel like you're moving anywhere? Okay, I hope you do. If you don't, you know, it's okay, but we just got to get that ball rolling again. You know, how is it that we can do that? How is it that we can keep moving? I just want to talk about a couple of passages. One of them was brought up to me this week, and the more I thought about it, the more I said, you know, this is important for me to talk about. So turn over with me. You're hopefully there. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And as I look at this, and we talk about the gate and the path and where we're going and different things like that, I look at this passage not necessarily as a salvation passage, as one that's talking about our eternal life, as in whether we have it or not. Like the popular interpretation is wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Most people never believe Christ and they go on to destruction. And the hard way, the narrow way, is the way of faith that a few find it. I look at this a little bit differently, just because the verses around aren't necessarily dealing with eternity. I kind of look at it as a journey, as a spiritual journey. As you know, Jesus is, I think, giving a message to believers. There's an easy way and a hard way. The easy way leading to destruction is not an uncommon term in the Christian life, is it? Would you think for a little bit? We just studied in 1 Corinthians, in the early part of the book, that there is a way that a Christian can live his life and all his works and everything that he's earned in this life if he's not done so according to the Word of God. If he's not done so, his works are then burnt up by fire. His Christian life is in ruin, right? Okay? I believe that a Christian can ruin their Christian life by not living for the Lord, by being stuck, by remaining content to never grow. I also believe that a Christian can work hard. They can go on that narrow, hard way where they have to look at their life, where it takes work, it takes sacrifice, and in the end, they produce fruit. And they receive reward for that. They receive, in a sense, a life. And so that's not necessarily the popular way to look at this passage, but it's the way I look at this passage. And you're free to disagree with me if you want to, and it's okay. But I choose to look at this passage as one that's teaching us about the way we live our life. And so when we look at what it means as a church, the things that we get out of this is that the path that we want to take, a path that leads to life, all right? So we're not talking about, in this case, and the way I interpret it, we're not talking about eternal life here. We're talking about the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised to those who follow him. He's not promised them an easy time. He's not promised them prosperity, but he's promised them a valuable living existence. You don't have to have a dollar to your name, but you can have this life that Jesus is saying he wants us to have, right? So this narrow way that Grace Life Church can walk is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. There, in fact, the Bible says there are few that actually find it. That actually take the time to follow Jesus as he wants us to follow him. To take the time to live a life that's holy and pleasing to him in order to live and see that abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. There is this idea of a journey. There is the narrow gate that we're looking for. And so as we look at being travelers, what I want us to think about, what I want us to follow along, and what I think is good for us, is to say, where is the narrow gate for me? What does God want me to do? It may be difficult. It may require my sacrifice. But where is it that we should all walk in holiness. We should all say no to the desires of the flesh. We should always look to follow Christ, even when it's difficult. Because following Christ isn't necessarily easy. It goes against the grain of this world. It goes against the way that this world is set up because of the way it is run, because of sin, right? So it's not easy to be that one that stands and maybe you're the only one at your workplace, or maybe your family is the only family in your extended family that serves Christ, and it's difficult when everybody else says, we want to do this, and you have to say, I can't. But as Grace Life Church, we want to enter that narrow gate. That's the way that we want to go. And so that means we make decisions as a family to walk a difficult road. It's not necessarily going to be the popular one. So, that leads us to describing a path. And now I'd like you to turn over with me to Hebrews 12, where we'll spend the remaining time that we have this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's been a long time since I've actually studied through the book of Hebrews. I love the study. There's a lot of theology that goes into it. It makes me nerd out and fun things like that. But talking about this path, the writer of the book of Hebrews says a few things here that I want us to pick up on when we start talking about this path. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted in your struggle against sin. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have forgotten, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Yet no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit a blessing, he was rejected, and for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. I'm just going to stick right there. Very popular passage about running a race, okay? And a race has a few things that it's in common with a journey. In fact, you can lump them all the same together. As travelers, we want to go on a journey. As racers, we run in a race. There's a starting point and an ending point, right? As Grace Life Church, we want to continue to follow the Lord like he tells us to follow the Lord, right? This tells us, as we run our race, what are we supposed to do? A couple of things. He says, as you run your race, lay aside weight and sin. Thank you very much. As we run our race, as we travel our journey, as being travelers, Grace Life, we have a certain point fixed in the distance, and we're heading that way, right? And we're supposed to lay aside weights, and we're supposed to lay aside sin, because both weights and sin hold us back. So we know what sin is, right? Somebody not know what sin is? Okay. Sin is that which holds us back spiritually that Jesus does not like. It's what the world does, okay? It's those things like Esau, he says here, lusted after his own appetite. And so therefore, he committed sin because he wanted what he wanted, okay? There's certain things that are sin. Then there are certain things that are weights. What is it that the Bible considers a weight here? What do you think that might be? Okay, there are things that... let me rephrase that for you. The things that God doesn't want us to do, I would call those sin. But there are things that we can do that's not sin that keeps us from running a race, right? We get so interested in certain aspects of our life. And it might be a hobby, it might be a passion of yours that takes away from your spiritual walk. I don't know what that could be. For some people, it's sports. For other people, it's the love of money, which is the root of evil. That would be sin. But it would be maybe the advancement in your job or your career gets in front of Christ. These are weights, things that are good in and of themselves. They're not bad. It's not bad to advance in your workplace. It's not bad to get to a different level. It's not bad to be educated. There's a lot of good things that we can do, but sometimes those things get in the way of our journey. They get in the way of our race. And so here the writer of the Hebrews tells us, and you're in that race and you're in that journey, sometimes you've got to lay aside You know, I should always be laying aside sin, but sometimes you need to lay aside the weight that holds you back. Okay. Okay, you know, it is extremely, extremely important that we all come together as much as we possibly can to be together as a church. It's extremely important for us, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. But there are certain things in our lives that we can lay aside to continue to move forward. And those things might be different to each person. And you know, there might be one of those, there might be a conversation in there where you get to tell people about why it is that you want to be with your family. And talking about Jesus Christ and talking about the body of Christ and being with the body. There may be some opportunity for you to do that in the way that you choose to live your life. Who knows? Every person has... I'm going to leave it up to you, okay? I want you to wrestle with that idea of what weight is. Okay, God is telling us that he wants us, okay? Now, does anybody see that, those words, us, and... Would you say that describes a single person, or would you say that describes... more than one person? I would say that's a plural. The race that we run is not necessarily a race that's meant to be run alone. Number one, we have a great cloud of witnesses that we run in front of, right? Has anybody ever studied Hebrews and figured out who that great crowd of witnesses are? The people in Hebrews chapter 11, right? These are the people that have lived their lives, and God said, good job, and they're there, imagine, and they're here encouraging us to move on. So number one, the church, we have people encouraging us from the scriptures and the stories that we read, encouraging us to live our lives according to how Christ would like have us to live. But as a church, we're also to run together. And that's why I read through the whole passage. I'm not really interested in talking about the discipline right now that Jesus says that God brings to us. Okay, but let's skip over that and read some of the stuff. He says, therefore, lift your hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather... be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. What does this passage seem to say in our journey, in our race? It's not a solo sport, is it? It seems to me there's a little bit of, hey, suck it up and keep running. It hurts for a little while. Galatians would say, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Right? But there's also this sense here that's saying, get people to come along with you. As you strengthen your hands and your knees, help other people to do that as well. As you make straight paths for your feet, run in a good way on the right plane. It may be tough, but run a place where there's no obstacles that you're going to have to... don't put any extra obstacles underneath your feet. But, he says, live righteously and holy. Why? So that other people will see the Lord working in your life. Don't let bitterness spring up within you. And he's not talking about a one-person show here. He's talking about more than one person. Have you ever met somebody that you thought in your mind, you know what? They might have a root of bitterness because they've been through some difficult circumstances and they've been hurt and they've struggled. And so sometimes I've had roots of bitterness spring up in my heart before. And they're difficult and sometimes feels like they're nearly impossible to get out. I've had people hurt me in the ministry, and it's been years and years before I could forgive them, though I tried. You just start asking people about where they've been hurt, and you can see their face change. You can see their talk, listen to the tone of their voice change, the whole demeanor of how they lift themselves up. You can see them. You can almost see them slump back into it when they have that root of bitterness in their heart. And that has got to go, but that doesn't go by yourself. You've got to have people around you. You've got to be able to communicate it. You've got to be able to process it. You've got to get to the place where you can forgive and move on and begin walking that journey, because it's the bitterness that holds us back. It's the sin that holds us back. It's the weight that holds us back to keeping us from getting to our goal. He says, see to it that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. These are people who live after their passions. They don't have any filter to stop themselves from doing what they want to do when they want to do. They have no discipline. This is a group effort. So, I also think that this group effort of the church, of us, solves so many practical problems in the outside world. And you missed a good chance to talk about this. We talked in Sunday school about some of the issues that are plaguing our society today. But it's the community that the church, that we get to do together as we continue to move forward in our lives, that we get to show people who Christ is, and we get to love on people and show people grace, and we get to bring in outsiders, and I mean that in the very extreme sense of the word, outsiders, to love on them and to show them that they are not outside Christ's love, and bring them to a place where they know Christ. We are on a journey, Grace Life Church. But we are not on that journey alone. We walk together. We are not on a journey just for ourselves, but we bring others with us. As Grace Life Church, this is what we want to be. Now, I want to talk a little more practically, so I'm going to, about what that path looks like and where each of us might be on that path, right? Because as a group, we are walking together, but there's individuals, we're all part of that group, we're all in different places along that journey. It's almost like, if you have, well, I think it's interesting, it's almost like the kids that you see in daycare, and they go out on a walk, and they have, as they walk, they have these little rings, and along, they're all attached by some piece of nylon or something, right? And all the kids, and the teacher has this end, right? And then all of the kids in that line have a hold of a ring, right? Let's just say that we're all in different places on this ring. There's somebody who's leading, there's somebody who's following, and we can work out where each of us are later, because that's what I want to try to do. But there's some of us that we're over here on this end of the ring, the very last ring, that we may be the most immature in Christ person in the group. And that's fine. That's a fine place for us to be. But we want to keep walking along. We want to keep following. We want to keep growing. Okay? So this is a good place to be saved. You know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's awesome. What's the next step? What's the next ring? Obedience to Christ. Obedience in baptism. Obedience in fellowship with Him. What's the next step? Discipleship. Learning to commune with Jesus. Knowing more about Him. What's the next step? Telling people about Him. And some of these things, they don't, not in any specific order here, okay? I'm just picking things along the way. What else is there to this path? Serving. You know, we're not all, you know, the people who are here, they've just been saved, they don't know what to do or how to do it. But they want to help, and so let's get them. Let's help them move forward. Let's help get them baptized. Talk to them about the importance of publicly demonstrating what's happened to them in their faith. Maybe talk about how they can know Jesus. Serving, helping people grow along this line. How else can we serve? There's lots of things we can serve through prayer. Serve other people by praying for them. Walking around, hey, how can I pray for you? Calling them on the phone, hey, how can I pray for you today? My brother-in-law did this for me this week, and I thought it was awesome. Just out of the blue, he says, hey, he actually had flooding in his house because of the snow and stuff where he's at in Kentucky. But he called me, he says, you know, the Lord's really put me on your heart. He says, how are you? He says, how can I pray for you? And he took time out of his day from sucking up water in his basement to call me and ask me and pray for me. And that was amazing. That's how we can serve people. Maybe it is that you have a gift of encouragement. We talked about spiritual gifts, that the church is the place. This is the place where we use our spiritual gifts along this line. Maybe it is you just walk around and encourage people. Maybe it is you've been through stuff and you say, you know, I know you're hurting, but let me tell you how Christ worked in my life, and I can help you move forward here. Maybe it is that's where you are. Maybe it is that you have some gifts that you can use in the church, whether, you know, I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I know we beat this drum a lot. When we talk about serving the church, what do we often talk about the nursery and the kids' stuff and Sunday school and all that stuff. There's always time, places. Maybe you're gifted in that. You know, great, it's awesome. You can serve there. Maybe you're not gifted at that. What do you do next? I don't know. Where are you gifted? You know, and so we have this area of service. Then as we walk up this ladder, maybe it's time for us to lead. That's a four-letter word, Pastor. Because here's the deal. Here's what happens. Sometimes we start here. Hey, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. That's good enough for me. I'm done. There are people who are there. There are people who say, you know what? I've been saved. I'm baptized. I've done my religious duty for my life. I'm done. There are some people who go a little bit further, and they learn to have devotion, and they learn to read their Bible, but they do it out of duty. And they stay right here, and they never learn to serve. Or if they serve, they stop. They say, you know what? I'm cool working in the nursery, and that's all I ever want to do. That's fine, but we still have to grow. And so in each part of our lives, we should never come to the place where we're comfortable. If you are here and you've been a part of Grace Life Church and you've done the same thing in Grace Life Church for the past I don't know how long, maybe it's time that you look ahead. Is there something I can teach somebody or something else I should be doing? Maybe it's time for you to lead. I have a passion for this. Maybe it's time for you to say, let's do something about this problem and let's fix it. And maybe if you're there leading in one area, maybe God's moving you on to lead in another area, to reach out for more helping and discipling and stuff like that. But we are on a journey, and if we get comfortable, what happens to us? If we get complacent, what happens? We stop growing. We stop moving. We get stuck in the doldrums. But let's, as a church, continue to move forward. Now, we've got a little time. And I want to give us 5 minutes here to do something. And this is a little bit risky on my part. Because everybody might just look at each other and just stare at each other. And if that happens, so be it. For 5 minutes, you get to stare at somebody. And maybe that makes your week. I don't know. But what I'd like us to do is to do some circling up. Okay? Get with 4 or 5 people. And I'm just trying to change some things up here, okay? I'm trying to get you to move a little bit, trying to help you get out of your place where you are. But let's do something. Circle up with 4 or 5 people. And I want you to try to do some things. Communicate where you are in your journey. And you may have to say, I've just been saved. I've just come to Jesus Christ, know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want something next. Maybe this is you. What do I do next? Okay? Maybe all you can do is identify where you think you are on this line. Maybe it is that you can identify where you are in this line, but you also know. Okay, so this is why I'm thinking, okay, this is why I told you to think. Where are you in this line? Maybe, because when we get with people and we get with like-minded people, I'm learning this more and more that I need to find people who are thinkers and creative so that it helps my creative juices flow. Maybe it is that you're going to meet with those people today that helps you get some things going, like, hey, you know what, if I am here, what are the next steps for me to go to, what's my next step? And maybe it is that you say with each other, you know, because sometimes we have a hard time looking at ourselves and we just don't know where to go next. Maybe it is that we can ask each other and say, hey, this is where I am. I don't know my next step. Maybe you do. Maybe you say, this is where I am, and this is my next step. But talk a little bit about it. Okay, I'm not telling you to bare your heart, but I'm just saying, let's start talking, okay? So, first thing, try to identify where you are in your journey. Number two, if you can, try to identify where you're going next. Or, okay, maybe as you look over this mission vision statement, maybe you get to say, maybe you're in the place where you're thinking far enough ahead for more than just you. What are some things that Grace Life Church can do next to advance our church along the line in order to make us a church that develops fully devoted disciples to Christ.